cozy traditions feel good, especially this time of year. And that includes your fall makeup look. From lashes for days with liquid lash extension mascara to enhancing a smoky eye with your favorite shade of Brilliant Eye Brightener, Thrive Cosmetics is your go-to for completing every fall look. Whether you want a simple, just gotta get out the door routine or fall glam that wows at all your favorite festivities, you'll always look and feel radiant with Thrive Cosmetics. Plus, every product is vegan, cruelty-free, and made with clean, skin-loving ingredients. Complete your fall look. Go to thrivecosmetics.com/cozy for an exclusive offer of 20% off your first order. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/cozy.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Are we finally seeing a breakthrough in the search for peace in Ukraine? After a dramatic series of talks in Geneva with Ireland's new Minister of Foreign Affairs, Helen McEntee, calling it extremely positive, we're going to find out if real progress is being made. And we're joined now by Seana Murray, who's the Europe correspondent with Euronews. Seana, you're very welcome to the programme. Nice to speak to you. We know that Washington had previously put Kyiv under real pressure with this 28-point proposal that it seems have been developed by the US but had been written by Russian officials. Now they have this new 19-point peace deal. So do we know what's on the table? Do we know how much progress has been made? And do we know what influence, if any, European leaders had on this?
Yeah, that's. I think the 19-point plan is probably what Helen McEntee is referring to when she says, you know, very good news that she's showing optimism, because otherwise, other than that, there is no real hope that anything is going to materialize, because we haven't heard from the Russians. And we saw from the 28-point document, the original one, how maximalist that was and how much in favor of Russia was, in particular the demand for Ukraine to never be allowed to join NATO, for there to be a threshold of 600,000 Ukrainian troops, meaning that they could easily be attacked again and would be even more vulnerable, and other such things, like there was nothing in the early document about promising to return all of the kidnapped Ukrainian children. So this re-engineered 19-point plan, which was agreed yesterday at Geneva between the US and the Ukrainians, I mean, that is much more like what the Ukrainians can deal with, although there was nothing in it in relation to, let's say, territory or anything like that. But it talked about NATO, referring to the fact that there's no consensus on Ukraine joining NATO, but it leaves it open that Ukraine could possibly join in the near future. There's no chance of Ukraine joining NATO now, but that there could be. And there's other elements in it that obviously the Russians have to hand back the children that they've kidnapped, and that Ukrainian sovereignty is ultimate. So that's something that the Russians have always denied. We know that Vladimir Putin from the very beginning has essentially said Ukraine isn't a real country. And his theory is he wants to recapture Ukraine to be part of a much larger Russian federation. So the only thing we have to say about optimistic is that the US has decided to come down and support the Ukrainians a lot more than what was original. But we've heard nothing from Putin.
No, I mean, the EU, to go back to them, they have struggled all along here to assert themselves into the conversation here, to be seen as a real player in the room. The rhetoric coming from Ursula von der Leyen is that there's big momentum now, there's new momentum, that they are part of the conversation. But when you look at some of the sort of individual EU countries and their leaders, I think they're more sceptical about the role that the EU can play. So what is your read on that? And from a European perspective, I suppose, what are the red lines here?
Well, I mean, the EU has to have a role at the table. It's inserted itself, because remember, it's the European Union that Ukraine is on the path to joining. And it is Europe that is paying almost 100% at this stage, alongside other members of the coalition, the willing, let's say, Australia, Japan and so on, who are contributing to the defence of Ukraine. America has taken itself completely off the pitch. It doesn't deliver weapons to Ukraine anymore unless the Europeans and the Canadians are paying for it. They have set up a new facility within NATO, the prioritised Ukraine requirements list, where Europe, Canada and a few countries can pay into it for the Americans to then deliver some weapons to Ukraine, and not even enough weapons in terms of long-range missiles and so on. So Europe has to have a seat at the table, because if you're not on the table, you literally are on the menu, because this is the future of the European continent. Now, of course, the Europeans have been sidelined over the past you know, I suppose when Trump came into office. But there's a recognition that the Europeans have to have a decision here. And remember, a lot of these countries border Ukraine, whether it's Poland or Romania. You know, Finland has a 1,300 kilometer border with Russia. So anything that's decided, they have to have a seat at the table and a say, because it actually completely affects them and their borders.
So what happens next then, Sean? As you say, they've strong-armed their way in. There has been progress on that 28-point deal. There seems to be something that's more palatable, at least, to the Ukrainian. Where does this go from here?
Yeah, so we just even had a message there from Friedrich Merz, the German chancellor, who made the point, you know, that this is really just the start of the negotiations. This is not about, I mean, this the deadline that Trump set around the 26th November for an agreement is just completely impossible. So as he said, as Merz had said, this is the start of the negotiations to, like it's been, like it's like, I suppose the idea is that this would create some sort of a ceasefire. Then you negotiate probably a frozen conflict, and you get the Russians out of Ukraine, and you then agree that you'll have this coalition of the willing that will protect Ukraine for the future, for the time being. So that's the idea. And that there hasn't been anything from Putin yet. So really everyone's just waiting to see what the Russians can say and how Trump can, I suppose, try and sell this to Putin. But so far, we know that Putin hasn't moved an inch in any part of this. So there's no really reason to see why he would do now.
It'd be interesting to see if there really is true momentum here and if that read that there's something big happening, some positive, actually is going to lead to the conclusion of some sort of peace talks, as you say, with Russia involved in them. Shona Murray will be keeping an eye on that. Shona Murray, Europe correspondent with Euronews. Thank you for joining us here on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range. Celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.